You know, sometimes, and I don't spend a lot of time doing it, but because I learned, you know, it's just better not to. You know, I'm doing things in my life, and for God, I never dreamed I'd do. Never. Mm-hmm. Never. But I'm doing them. And I'm in those things because God saw fit that that's what he had for my life. Mm-hmm. It's all been good. You know, even when I accepted the call to ministry, I got that part figured out, but I didn't know what office that would mean, what capacity of ministry that would mean. And then when I figured out that, I figured out that pastoring was going to be part of that, at least for a while. I didn't know that that meant pastoring out of my home state, but it did. And then I didn't know that God was going to connect me to Dr. Ed Dufresne, one of the foremost prophets in the land, but he did. You know, I didn't know he'd have me build a building, but he did. I didn't know that he'd put a healing anointing in my hand, but he did. Well, one of the newer things that I had no idea that God was going to do was that he was going to put something special on my life and my wife's life and our ministry for prosperity. But he did. And I am just marveling. I'm just marveling at the few opportunities that God has given me to be out, to share, and to minister on prosperity, the effect that it's had in churches. I get consistent testimonies that when I receive an offering for someone in a meeting, it's one of the bigger offerings that they ever had, or one of the bigger offerings of that whole meeting. Yeah. It's just an anointing on us for that. Yeah. Amen. And then Pastor Luke, I'd already ministered, and he'd already told me something, but he told me more about it. He said, you know, since you ministered, he went over and over and over to you. He said, since you ministered for me in my church last year, he said, our church struggled to ever have $100,000 come in a whole year. But he said, after you came, you know, it doubled. It doubled that. I didn't do that. God did that. Anyway, and I could just keep telling you stories. Amen. But, and I've said this even recently, I want what God is doing through our ministry in the few places that we've been outside the church, I want him to do it here. If I want him to do it anywhere, if I want him to double something anywhere, you know, people talk about their businesses that quadrupled and the promotions that they got and the new things that happened. And of course, that means the tithes and offerings went up. And if I want that for anybody in any church, in any ministry, I want it right here. Amen. And what would prevent that? Well, there's one word that would prevent that I know of, and it would be familiarity. Amen. That you're right, if you were overly, you all know me more than anybody else, other congregation knows me. If you just get so used to that and you become familiar and you don't have the regard, you don't come to a service with the same edge of expectation that other churches do. Because you know how it's like when you get a guest speaker. I've seen some of my own people. You know, I just preached and used a phrase within the last 2 weeks, the same phrase. And then the church member catch me in the hallway and go, did you catch that revelation, Pastor? It was so amazing. And he used the same phrase, the guest minister. And I went, isn't that wonderful? They didn't hear me say it. And that's one of the reasons why you bring other ministers in. If you're not going to hear it through me, maybe you'll hear it through somebody else. Amen. But you know, I'm believing with you. I'm believing with you. I'm your pastor. Amber and I, we love you. We're here this is our primary, this is the home base. This is where God's called us. And God is for us. Amen. And I know there's some folks out there struggling in the financial realm. And so, God seemed to just give me full permission that I'm going to begin in these midweeks. I'm going to start on it tonight. We'll see how far we get. But until he tells me to stop, I'm just going to minister on prosperity and finances and what God's shown me and over the years about how to walk by faith in this area and the different laws and the different principles and the different things. Amen. Amen. And you come and you bring people. Amen. Amen. And you come like you did tonight. You come expecting. Yes. But it's not just principles. Thank God for those. But there's an anointing. I said there's an anointing to break financial poverty and yoke and lack and hardship off people's lives. And he put it on, you know, it's on the body of Christ. It's on Jesus. but they're just something special. You know, like all of us can pray for people for healing and get results. But there are people that have a special anointing on their life for healing. We know that, right? Same thing. I'm finding it out in the financial realm. Okay, we better just get into it. Amen? But don't let yourself be familiar. Oh, it's just Pastor Chris. We know what he looks like. Uh-huh. Amen. But stir yourself. Stir yourself. Praise God. Amen. All right. Father, help us tonight. Grant us answers and revelation. Thank you for that anointing. Not that it's just on me, Father. I feel sorry for anyone looking at me. Father God, let our eyes be on Jesus, the miracle worker, the one who brought fish in great abundance into Peter's boat. Father God, the one that paid his taxes, the one that would feed multitudes with whatever was lying around. Father, Jesus, you, our Father, our Jesus, the great Holy Ghost, that's where our miracles come from. That's where our provision comes from. Father, I'm just a mouthpiece. I'm just a channel. I'm just a conduit. And I do want you to use me. Use me tonight. Use me in the weeks to come. But I just release my faith. No, I know some people are in here tonight and they're doing really well. They are abounding. They're increasing. Their debts are being canceled. Some of them are out of debt and I am so thrilled about it. But even them, they are not where they ought to be. They're not yet walking in what you want them to walk in. There's more. And yet, God, I know that there's others facing deficits and struggles and they're behind and there's pressure. And Father, we love them and we know you care about them and you've got a way out for them and we're believing for them. Glory to God for miracles, for breakthroughs, and for change. Change, forever kind of change in their life. And we thank you that, God, you're going to use these times of ministry that we're going to have to further us in great ways. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you're out there watching, I'm talking to you too. Same thing. We love you and we believe with you. And so anyway, here we go. Time's limited, but let's get into what we can get into tonight. So God dealt with me this afternoon about the covenant part. You know, everything God deals with humanity, he does so on the basis of covenant. Why that is, I believe, is because there's no stronger, there's no greater, there's no more sure way to cut a deal, to do a deal, to give someone confidence assured. There's nothing greater, evidently even in the spirit realm that I know of, there's nothing greater than an agreement that is cut in blood. There's just nothing stronger than that. And so that's how everything God has ever done, he's made a deal. He's made some sort of arrangement or agreement. It's been modified. It's been changed. Men broke it and he'd institute a new one. There's different covenants in the Bible. You and I are new covenant, thank God, new covenant believers. Amen. And in that covenant, you and I have a divine covenant right to increase. Amen. To prosperity. And when I say that, I'm not shying away. A lot of preachers will shine away from it. I am talking about included, not only, but that I'm talking about financial and material increase. Amen. Amen. People want to say money's not important. You don't have to live a day and a half on this planet to find out that's not true. Amen. And so we're going to learn some things tonight. So tonight in this part one, we're going to talk a little bit, however long time will allow. We're going to talk about covenant connections. Covenant connections. And that'll make more sense to you as you go along. So here in Psalm 111. So have I been saying that right? Psalm 100, triple one, triple aces. All right. Psalm 111, verse number, we'll read 4 and 5. It says, he, talking about God, hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is what? He is gracious and full of compassion. Aren't you glad? He's full of compassion. He hath given meat, that's provision. Some translations render it provision, food and provision. He has given provision unto, does he say everybody? No, he doesn't say everybody. He says to them that fear him. You want to know why Abraham was so abundantly provided for? Because he demonstrated such extreme fear for the Lord. He did what few humans would do. Amen. And God blessed him proportionally for that. Glory to God. So he, God, has given provision unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. So here in this verse, verse 5, Psalm 111, verse 5, we see that provision, food and provision. Anybody have a translation that says anything different than meat? Food. Yeah. The Amplified says food and provision. Food and provision. Amen. The Amplified said he has given food and provision to those who reverently and worshiply fear him. He will remember his covenant forever and imprint it on his mind. That's good, isn't it? God imprinted his covenant. He's always thinking about the promise he made, the deal that he cut. Always. Always. He's thinking about it right now. He'll be thinking about it while you're sleeping. It's on the forefront of his thinking, of his consciousness when you get up in the morning. And he is looking. And you know, in a place in the Bible, it says God, his spirit looks to and fro. And he's looking. He's looking. He's looking for someone, amen, that he can show himself strong on their behalf. Well, why can't God, he's God, why can't God just show himself strong on behalf of anybody he wants to? Because not everyone will enter into a covenant with him. Not everyone will transact their relationship with him on a covenant basis, right? A covenant is like this. Okay, Deacon Philip, here's what I'll bring to the table. What are you going to bring to the table? Okay, you're going to bring that to the table? Okay, well, you do that. I'm going to do this, and I'm with you in that. You can count on me. Mm-hmm. Everything with covenant, there's nothing unconditional about it. It's got strings attached to it. We're talking about covenant connections. So here in this verse, is food and provision, is it unconditional? I'm giving everybody all the food and every provision they need, period, end of story. That's all. You're going to have it. You're welcome. Thank you very much. I'm God. Give me glory. No, that's not what he said. He connected it in this verse to two things. To two things, right? He said, number one, he gives provision to those who fear him. Now that's a whole teaching. It'd take me weeks and months to get that over to you like we need to. But what does that mean? I have an honor for God. I have a regard for God. I love his word. And I shrink back. My heart is, my mind is, I shrink back from anything that would displease him, dishonor him, disrespect him, that would not please him. I shrink back from that. Well, we have to judge ourselves. If we're not walking in, if we're lacking food and we're struggling in the financial realm, we have to ask ourselves, do I fear God? Do I honor God? Do I shrink back in my life from the idea of missing church for some silly reason? Do I shake and quake in excitement, expectation at his word? Is it easy for me to sin against him and transgress his word and do stuff I know it's not right for me to do? Is it easy for me to disobey? Am I slow to repent when I miss it? I mean, that's just a whole teaching. But it's prosperity, provision is linked to the fear of the Lord. Not just in this one verse. I just don't have time for that. He told me to emphasize the covenant part. Then notice he talks to the next thing he talks about is I'm ever mindful of my covenant. Well, see, here's my thing. God is ever mindful of his covenant. Are you thinking about it? Come on. See, if he's never not thinking about it, how much time do you spend, do I spend thinking about my covenant with God? Now, let's get even deeper into that. So when God says he's ever mindful of his covenant, what about that covenant is he thinking about? Well, I don't think he's spending all of his time thinking about, I just wish they would do their part. He's thinking about that. But what he's thinking about is, I got to watch Dakota, because if he comes into line with his, I have an obligation to fulfill, I'm going to fulfill it. I'm paying attention. So anytime faith makes a demand on the covenant and she's brought herself in line, I have an obligation to fulfill, and I'm thinking about that. I'm never not going to be thinking about that. I'm never going to let a covenant girl down. So he's always thinking about it. We'll flip this. Covenant is a two-sided coin. You flip that over. How concerned are you? How mindful are you? I have responsibilities in this covenant. I have things that God's expecting of me, things that God's asked me to do. Are we thinking about those things? Amen. Or are we just totally not paying attention? Amen. See, if God's ever mindful of His covenant, we need to be ever mindful about our part for the covenant. Amen. Amen. Go with me to Psalm, because we're close by here, Psalm 145. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Psalm 145. Now, while you're turning there, now I want to be very careful, and I've always tried to be, but I just want to be increasingly very careful. If I say, thus saith the Lord, or God told me, it means that I believe with all my heart that I heard Him say. Yes, sir. So I'm going to say, this really seemed like what God was impressing me about today. Amen. He said, to me, that's what was impressed upon my heart. I'm going to phrase it like that. I wrote this down. My people have a covenant right to increase. Well, we know that's right in the Bible. The problem is my people don't think covenant. They think, see, in this is my people think, too many of God's people think, I want Him to give me what I need and I don't want Him to expect anything of me. I want Him to answer my prayers and come through for me while I live loose. Well, God doesn't think like that. See, that's out of divine order. You're going to monkey up the system. It doesn't work like that. Amen. Amen? So the problem is my people don't think covenant. They think naturally. They think job. You know, when it comes to your financial material life, how many of you just look into your job? That's a rhetorical question. My job, this job, that job, better job, but it's all linked to my job. You know, you can live higher than that. I'm not saying go out and quit your job. I'm just saying you need to let God in. Anyway. They think, here's another thing God said they think. They think struggle. That's how they think. Struggle, struggle, struggle. That's all they know. Struggle. So that's how they think. They think labor. And that's in this natural world system, there is an exchange of labor for wages. And we're trained in that, aren't we? And it's not a bad system. It's just so inferior to God's system, God's kingdom, and what we can actually walk in. Amen. And if you're not on board with that thought, that idea, whether it just means you're not you haven't renewed your mind to what the Bible actually says is available. Amen. And so I continued to write what was impressed upon my heart. My people have their attention more on the natural than on the covenant. See, if we're affected in our decision making, in our actions, in our plans, in whether we tithe and give and do things based on natural considerations, like the economy and who's in office and what's going on at work, and all these kind of things, then see, we're basing our life just based on that natural consideration. And I know that's easy to do. I mean, we live in a natural world. So this came to me then, teach my people covenant. Teach my people how to access their covenant rights and privileges. You know, Abraham didn't have a job. He didn't have an economy. Yeah, God was able to make him rich, rich, rich. Abundantly supplied. Right? No government programs. No government programs, no social programs, no. And then, so teach my people their covenant rights and privileges so that I can bless them and take care of them in these last days. If my people would attend to the covenant and stop struggling to eke out a living by themselves, things would change for them. Did you hear that? If we would attend to the covenant, amen. And when I say attend it, I don't mean just read it and then forget about it. But I mean, spend your time. What is my side of this covenant? What is God's side of this covenant? Become intelligent about that. And then spend your time making sure you're what? Walking in the light of your part. Amen. doing your part. Because you know God's going to do His. He's never failed in anyone's life to do His part. And He longs to do His part. Why isn't He doing it more? It's on our side, not His side. I said it's on our side, not His side. Amen. So here's one of the big things I had in my heart. And I have some notes here, but I believe with me how to articulate what I'm trying to say. Maybe this will make sense. Prosperity is not a standalone blessing. It's not a standalone blessing. It's not just like, okay, here's one of the things in the blessing packages and it's not connected to anything and you just claim it and it's a result of answered prayer and claim it, believe in it, confess it, and you got it. Amen. Prosperity is not that. Prosperity is not a standalone blessing. Prosperity is not the outcome of answered prayer. Prosperity is a byproduct. Prosperity, natural, financial, and material prosperity is the outcome, the reward for the byproduct of living a covenant relationship with God. And it's your prosperity is connected to things. Yes, sir. And you cannot not appreciate the things that are connected to your prosperity and just claim prosperity. Amen. See it in the Bible, believe it, start to confess it, but not be mindful of all of the things that are connected to prosperity. Help me, Father. Let me give you an example. Maybe we can do this without turning there. Philippians 4:19. Philippians 4:19 is part of our covenant. Philippians 4:19 is a verse in the New Testament. It says, "For my God shall supply all your need according to His," aren't you glad that's there? "According to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." But you know, Philippians is made up of more words than those words. That verse is not a standalone promise. It's not like you turn to the index of covenant promises and in promise 104, index A is, "My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory." Do you know, you've probably found out, that verse doesn't work for everybody just because it's in there. Did you know you might have found this out too? That verse doesn't work just because you believe it. That verse doesn't work just because you believe it and confess it. And many are frustrated because they believe it and they've been taught to believe. And it's right to believe. But you cannot cherry pick that verse out of its setting, put it on your mirror, believe it and confess it and expect it to come to pass while ignoring all the things connected to that verse. Philippians 4:19 is not an unconditional promise of financial prosperity. It is not. It is connected to things. I made a short list this afternoon. And if you need me to, I'll take the time and go there. But first of all, that verse was written. You know, that verse is not in any way, shape, or form restated by Paul to any other church. It was written to that church. You want to know why? Because they were in partnership with his ministry. So this is a verse written to saints who had, right, it says to the saints, I know you didn't get it, to the saints in Philippi, with the deacons, the bishops and the deacons. So here you have a city. The bishops are the pastors, pastoring local congregations in the city of Philippi, and the deacons are helping out too. And all the saints that make this up, they had a partnership with Paul. They had a partnership with Paul. And number one, you got to be born again. Number two, you got to be in partnership with a man of God. Are you in partnership with a man of God? I can't answer that. Maybe I could for some of you, but not for everybody. Now, maybe you are. I just don't know. But they were. I said they were. Then in Philippians chapter 4, it goes on and says, now, because you cared about me once and again, you're the only church in the beginning of my gospel ministry in Macedonia. You're the only church that communicated with me, participated with me in a divine spiritual law called giving and receiving. So Philippians 4:19 is for people in a divine partnership with a man of God who are engaging in giving and receiving. So if you're not giving and receiving, you can believe Philippians 4:19 all you want. You can confess it all you want. It will not work like God intended it to work unless you do what those Philippians did. I'm not trying to get money out of you. If you tithe, if you're called here and you're a member here and you're called here and you tithe here, we get our salary out of that. You're contributing to our support. Many of you, most of my partners on the traveling side of ministry are right here in this room. So that's good news for you. I'm just trying to point out prosperity is not a standalone blessing. It's not here's the catalog of blessings and all you got to do is know they're there and confess them and I'll make them come your way. Right. It's conditional. Financial and material prosperity is conditional. Now, I don't mean you have to earn it. I'm not talking about earning it through works. But I am talking about what's connected to it. Understanding this is a covenant promise. Amen. And covenant, I'm only obligated to do anything on my part of the covenant as you do yours. If God says, if you do this, I'll do that. If you never do this, He will never do that. Amen. And yet people, the body of Christ is trying to get Him to. I will not do that, but I still want you to do this for me. And that just doesn't work. Are you with me? So He says here that you cared about me and you're in partnership with me and you're a partaker of my grace. These are all statements in Philippians. And then it says, you cared about me and you're the only church that got involved with me in giving and receiving. You did it once and again. And because of this, this gift that you have given has floated up to God and as a sweet-smelling aroma in the spirit realm. And because you have done this, my God shall supply. Amen. Amen. I tell you another quick funny story from another pastor friend of mine, Keith Rogan. He pastors in Nashville, Tennessee, Church on the Rock, Nashville, Tennessee. He's got two congregations there. He's a great man of God. And he talked about his journey to renewing his mind about prosperity. And he was one broke preacher, pastoring one broke church with a bunch of broke people. And Dr. Jacobs kept on him about getting your mind up and doing things right. And he had a hard time with the concept of tithing out of his church and struggling with that. And his people were kind of uppity anytime you brought up money. And he had this old junker van. And Dr. Jacobs was like, I don't ever want to see this van. So when he came to a meeting, he had to hide the van behind the church dumpster, hoping Dr. Jacobs wouldn't see it. But finally, at his pastoral desk, just struggling, fed up, tired of this. He finally said, God, what? What? And he dealt with him. Number one, you're going to have to tithe. Number two, Philippians 4:19 is not going to work in your church until you teach your people how to honor me and how to take care of their pastor. You will not teach those people how to take care of you. And you're driving this junky truck. And he said, that church, because you haven't taught them, not because they didn't want to, but you didn't teach them. They don't do anything for your birthday. They don't do anything for Christmas for you. They don't do anything special. They don't care what you're making. They don't care that you're driving this junky car. And as long as they treat you like that, they don't qualify for Philippians 4:19. That's what God told him. And he said, so he had to stand up in his congregation and say, my truck or whatever I have is broken. You're going to help me fix it. And some guys got up and left his church. They didn't want to hear that. But the people that did, they said, we're happy to. We don't want you driving that junky truck in. But he gave them a chance. And the moment that congregation was given the chance, and the ones that didn't get offended engaged in it, the whole church just went, poof. Because Philippians 4:19 doesn't work because it's in there.
Amen. Come on now.
And now they do something for his, just like y'all do. They do something for his birthday. They do something for, they take care of him. They celebrate him. He's got a new truck, you know, and all of that. And their church now, he's got new building, new church, expanding congregation, all these miracles. And the people are being blessed. And they're, why? Because they're doing. He said, until you teach them Philippians 4:10 to 18, they will never qualify for verse 19. And congregations are being robbed by their pastors and deacon boards and all that because they're scared to talk about money and they're keeping their congregations because their congregations are not engaging in the divine law in that chapter that would make Philippians 4:19 work for them. Amen. And one of the reasons why this church is as blessed as it is because of you guys' engagement here with that principle. That was all bonus and free, whatever. But what I'm trying to communicate to you is that financial material prosperity is never a standalone blessing. It's connected with things. So, and it's one of the Bible subjects that I have found that prospering in God, financial material, is not hard. But there is a lot to learn and there is a lot to consider to make it go, to make it click unhindered, especially as you gain more light and maturity in spiritual things. Amen. So for instance, if you're not walking in love in your home, you're dismissed from Bible prosperity. If there is strife and arguing and fussing going on as a flow in your home, I hope you have a lot of money. Because strife is a prosperity killer. So if you're bickering and you're fussing and you're fighting and there's strife in your home, you better fix it. Amen. Abraham knew this. Right. He was really blessed, so blessed that the land couldn't contain all their blessing. And there become, not between Lot and Abraham, but between Lot's servants, employees, and Abraham's employees, they began bickering and fighting because there's just too many of us here. And it was the land, and so they're fighting. And so Abraham, he knew it. And he said, Lot, you're going to have to go. You're going to have to get away from me. You know what Lot should have done? He should have been smart. Lot would have had nothing had it been not for his connection with his uncle and his man of God. This was, a smart man would have said, oh, I'm not leaving. No. I've learned something. I've been blessed because since I started hanging out with you, we'll sell some cows and they'll be my cows. And whoever servants are fighting on my side, they're fired tomorrow. Well, I'll fix this fussing thing, but Abraham, I am not leaving you. But he didn't do that. In fact, he tried to take the best of what Uncle Abraham had. And even though in the natural, he took the best, because Abraham's a covenant man. You can't hurt a covenant man like that. He went down. He went down from that day. And the whole thing that started that was strife. The Bible says where there's bitterness, envy, and confusion, right? Where there's confusion, that kind of thing, disorder. There's envy, there's bitter, and every evil work is there, including poverty. Every evil work is where there is envy and strife and contention. So husbands and wives, let me just urge you, I'm telling you, your prosperity is connected to how sweet you are to each other and how you talk to each other and how you care about and how you act, you know, in your home to each other. And you better find a way to agree and let it go and get peaceful. Amen. Or there's no biblical prosperity coming your way. Amen. Your prosperity is connected to your love walk. In any covenant that I can find in the Bible, prosperity is a promised blessing for obedience. Obedience is connected to prosperity. There's another major connection. Did you hear what I said? I know you're writing and you're learning. You're doing good. But obedience is connected to prosperity. Adam and Eve, everything would have been wonderful for them had they just obeyed. God didn't give them a lot to obey. Just don't eat the fruit of that one tree. That's all they had to do. But they couldn't even get that done. They couldn't even get that right. God showed up years later and made a deal with Abraham. And the deal with Abraham, let's go to that one. Let's go to Genesis chapter 12. Y'all give me a few more minutes? You interested in this? Now, I can't get everything out, you know, in one little service. So But we're going to close here, and it's going to be better before you leave. Praise God. I don't mean necessarily the sermon. I'm already doing the best I can. I'm just saying you're going to leave in a better condition if you'll let God minister to you when you leave here. It doesn't take long. It won't. I don't care what kind of mess you're in right now. It doesn't take long. If you get yourself right with the covenant, it won't take long. God is mindful of that covenant. He is looking. He is searching. He wants to show himself strong. And he knows how. He'll get you out of that. Bam, he'll get you out. There was a time in Amber and I's life right before we moved here because of bad decisions that we had made. We were under financial pressure. And I remember putting the gas thing in my car. And when I do, I'd cry because when you watch, you stand at the pump and watch the numbers go up, I knew that's my debt right there. I have no way to pay this. If I didn't have a credit card, we wouldn't have gas. And I have no idea how I'm going to pay back what these numbers are doing right here. And I'm going to drive down the road and I'm going to have to do this again. And that went on and on and on. We borrowed money against the equity of our home. And I thought I was going to be a real savvy investor. And I was real savvy for about the first 3 trades. And then I thought I was so savvy, I knew everything about that particular trade and decided to put all my chips on that one thing. And it went kapoof. And I just thought, I have put my family back 10 years financially. You know, but when I repented of trying to do everything on my own, instead of attending to the covenant, trying to eke out a living by myself without him, because I'm a hard worker and I'll make it happen. He cleaned that up. Praise the Lord. Now, it didn't happen in a month. It took about a year and a half, but a big sum, a big mess. He cleaned it all up. He's so merciful. And you know what I did in years to come after that? It was all Amber's fault. We got in financial mess after financial mess after financial mess, and we'd rack up our credit cards. It was all her fault. You know, y'all do know I'm kidding. And we would repent. We'd say, this was just loose. We just let this thing get out of control. We just weren't disciplined with our spending. Father, we repent, and we ask you, and bless God, we will not do this again. And the money would come. And then we forgot all about what we told him. And went right back and racked up all the credit. And we did that about 5 times. We finally learned our lesson. Amen. And life is better. Amen. But you look at the mercy of God. Amen. The mercy of God. And every time we repented and turned to him, he immediately began to go to work. And he did miracles for us. Amen. We would go, she'd come in and go, paid all credit cards off. I'd go, what? How? I don't know. We don't know. But see, you got to turn to the covenant, turn to God. We do have a part in this, but the biggest part we have is attending to his word. What is he telling us to do with our lives? What is he telling us to do with our kids? What's he telling us to do with our church life? What's he telling us to do with our money? And do it. Just do what he told us to do. That's so hard, isn't it, for human brains? But if we would just, and do it with some consistency. Yes, sir. Some consistency. Amen. Listen, honey, God knows how to get you out. If you're under it, you're under the barrel, God knows how to get you out. And if you're living paycheck to paycheck, but you're paying your bills, God knows how to get you to where you're in excess. And you got breathing room. And you can sow larger seeds and you can get involved with different things and do more for your family. We go from glory to glory. We go like we sang about tonight. We go from level to level. But you've got to be willing to get in the book and get intelligent about the covenant and come to places like this like you did tonight. And I don't know everything, but what I do know I'm willing to share with you and begin to go home. And see, a lot of times We're really excited about the covenant and God on Sunday, and we don't believe God's the God of Monday. We believe he's the God of Sunday, but we act like we left him at the church house. He can't do anything for me, so I've got to claw and scratch and work and stress. But you know, God's the God of Monday and the God of Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. Yeah. Amen. Don't just let him be Sunday in your life. Bring him in on everything. Amen. How you doing? Okay. I'm going to do this one little nugget part here, and then we're going to do what I said at the end, and we'll be going about 8:30. All right, that good? Praise God. So I want to emphasize, go to Matthew with me. And see, a lot of what we might do in these sessions is just explore from the Word, what are all the different prosperity, covenant, connections, the things that are connected to my prosperity. You remember Pastor Nancy's test as you go to Matthew 6. Pastor Nancy, their church was very young, and she was pastoring. And she started teaching on prosperity, which is right. And she got several weeks into that series, and she was in her study, and God dealt with her and said, you're going to have to back up. She said, what do you mean you're going to? He said, well, preaching on prosperity is right and good. It's for the people. But if my people are not walking in love, especially in their home, they're not qualified for Bible prosperity. Amen. Now, see, most people don't connect my money with the way I treat my wife. Amen. Or my money and the way I treat my kids. Or my money and the way I treat my husband. Right. And the way I talk to him. That's right. Well, how is that connected? Because obedience. Obedience. Everyone say obedience.
Obedience,
obedience is still a thing with God. Even in this age of grace, obedience is still a thing with God. If you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Well, what is the commandment that we're under? Love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. A lot of people fail in that right there. A lot of Christians, they want God to pay their bills, but they don't love Him. They don't love Him like they don't love Him like He's saying to love Him. They have an affection for Him. They have an affinity for Him. They're not mad at Him. But they don't want to be obedient to Him. They don't want to serve Him. They don't want to be inconvenienced. They don't want to have to be expected to go to church every Sunday and Wednesday and have a helps ministry position and all of that that goes with it. Yes, but oh, we still want Him to pay those bills. Yeah. See what I mean? Yeah. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And number two, love your neighbor like you don't have a closer neighbor than your spouse. Than your family. I said, you don't. And if you're disobeying those highest commandments of the New Testament, you're disqualified from all the goodies and the blessings, including financial and material prosperity. And because Satan is in possession of the lion's share of the wealth on this earth, you've got to learn how to pry that out of his hand. And if he sees you acting like him in your own house or in the local church, see, if I gave you a checklist, that's one of the things. Number one, are you being sweet at home? Number two, are you loving the brethren in the church? One, two.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Are you walking in love? Right? If you want that flow of prosperity to really be flowing in your life, are you walking in love in your home? Number two, are you walking in love with the brethren in the local church? Or are you causing trouble? And you know, it's not just about the way you talk and act when you are with the local church, but you're not loving the church family when you neglect helping the church family. See, this goes with it if you really want to prosper. A lot of people say, I want a grace when I feel like coming through the doors of the church. That's my church, and I'll just show up when I want to. But you're not loving everybody here because we need you. And you're not here. You're not here helping. You're not here serving. You're not here tithing. You're not here giving. And it's those very same people that end up walking through the doors wanting financial help. But we wouldn't have any finances to help you if it were up to people like you. That's hard, isn't it? And we will help. But you just understand, you've been breaking covenant with us and you want. But had people not had a different mindset, there wouldn't be any money to help you. And we're happy to help you, but you need to get yourself turned around. That's good preaching. Can you tell I've been around Dr. Jacobs for 3 days? I can feel my hands moving like his. Amen. Okay, Matthew 6. You ready? I got about 10 minutes left. Matthew 6. So let's look. This is a huge one. This is a big one. This may be the biggest one. The biggest prosperity connection that I know of is right here. Matthew 6:33. Matthew 6:33. What did he say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Is it condition? Is prosperity a standalone promise, or is it connected to something? Do you see what I mean? It's connected to something. In this verse, everything that he'd been talking about, food, clothes, provisions, everything the pagan world is out living their life to chase and to claw and to accumulate. God said, I'll add all that. It's my pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's my pleasure. I know you need these things. I know you need a house. I know you need a car. I know you need all that stuff. I know you need it. And I'll add it to you. But it's not unconditional. I said, it's not unconditional. So what's the condition? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things. Did it say you'll have to toil, break your body down, work three jobs? No. He will add these things to you. The God's Word translation says it this way, but first be concerned about His kingdom and what has His approval. I like that. Your job, my job, if I want things to be added to me supernaturally by my Father, I need to concern myself with what has my Father's approval. And conform my life. Now, I don't know everything, right? I don't know everything that carries God's approval and His disapproval. But I probably know a lot. I know a lot more than the one who just got saved last week. I've been in this thing almost 30 years. And if I want the prosperity to keep coming, I got to walk in the light of what I know. But this word seek, it means to inquire of. It means to search after. It means to investigate. So this is an investigator who is on a quest. It's like these gals over here, when they get on the hunt on their ancestry stuff, they'll drive halfway across the nation to go to some dusty basement to open a file to try to find a little nugget to prove that their ancestor, who is they think they is. And they say, you want to go? No, I don't. God is the God of the living, not the dead. No, that's their thing, and they have a lot of fun doing that, and that's okay. I told them once, I could save y'all a lot of trouble. I could tell you where this thing ends. Right there in Genesis. They didn't think that was very funny, but anyway. But what do they do? They dig, and they're talking, and they're, what about this, and what about that? If we had this piece of, right. Well, this is what God's saying. You need to be interested. How's the kingdom of God doing? What can I do to advance the kingdom? What's God interested in? What's on the cutting edge of God's mind in the body of Christ right now? What is God up to? What is He doing? What's the vision of my local church? Am I doing my part? How do I advance the kingdom of God? And I'm going to put that first before me, my mortgage, my rent, my kids, my anything, because He said, seek first the kingdom of God. And I'm interested. How does He do things? How does He roll? That's how Dr. Ephraim would say it. You need to find out how God rolls. And what carries His approval? And as when you find out that God approves this, but He disapproves that, you go, okay, that settles it for me. So I disapprove that, and this is what I approve, and this is the way. We don't tell lies anymore. We don't cuss anymore. We don't drink alcohol anymore, because that doesn't have God's approval. This has God's approval. And so this is me now. That person is having stuff added to him. Having stuff added to him. Did you get that? The New Living Translation says, seek the kingdom of God above all else. He didn't say that's the only thing we're concerned with, but it has to be the first thing. It has to be the first thing. New Living goes on and says, then live righteously, and God will give you everything you need. God will give you everything you need. But see, you have a job, I have a job. And when you're under pressure, okay, I can't spend all my day thinking about me and my mess and my stuff. The first thing I got to think about is my Father and His kingdom and His ways and His righteousness. Amen. And it's not the only thing I'm going to do today, but it's the first thing I'm going to do today. Amen. Right? Let me show you this. 4 minutes. Oh, boy. Let me just quote this to you, but you might write it down. 2 Chronicles. We were here this last Sunday. 2 Chronicles 17, 3 through 6. And what I'm saying, the bottom line of this is prosperity is for, how did I say it? Covenant keepers and God seekers. That's who, if you want God to be involved in your money, then you have to be a covenant keeper and a God seeker. Seeking God is connected to your prosperity. That's what I'm trying to leave you with tonight. Amen. 2 Chronicles 17:3 in the New Living Translation says, The Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he followed the example of his father's early years. That's David. Well, before David was a king, what did he do? He sought God. Before he had position, what did he do? He sought God. What did David do before he was a warrior, before he killed Goliath, before he was anything, before he had position, before he had money, before he had wealth? What was he doing? He was searching after God, seeking God, spending time with God. And Jehoshaphat did the same thing. So in verse 4 it says, Jehoshaphat sought his father's God and obeyed his commandments instead of following the evil practices of the kings of Israel. So the Lord established Jehoshaphat's control over the kingdom. Amen. And all the people brought gifts. They brought presents. They brought gifts to Jehoshaphat, and he became very wealthy. And God will establish you in your life, in your kingdom. But you can't be the king of your kingdom before His kingdom. If you're building, if you care more about building your kingdom than His kingdom, then you're out of order. It's not going to work for you. Do you see how Jehoshaphat sought the Lord? And because he did, God was with him. God established him. God gave him success, put him in position, made him very wealthy. That's what it says. Okay, here's a third witness. 2 Chronicles 26. You've heard about this one. This is Uzziah the king. This is several kings later. 2 Chronicles 26:5. And it says, and he, Uzziah the king, sought God. What did he do? He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And I love this. Go there tonight on this one and underline it. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Do you see what I'm trying to show you? Seeking and prosperity is connected. So if you're not interested, you're not going to prosper. If you're not interested in God, you're not going to prosper by God. If you're not interested in God's church, His things, His Word, His Spirit, what He called you to do, the way He wants you to do it. You're not interested. You're not seeking. You're not searching. You're not talking to Him about it. You're not thinking about it. You don't care about it. You just want Him to take care of you and bless your bills and whatever. That's not going to work. But as long as he sought the Lord, notice what was connected to it. God made him prosper. Amen. God made him prosper. Amen. Sadly, though, Uzziah, he sought God until God made him really big, and then he stopped seeking God and began to trust in his position and the money that he had. And he went down. And he died a sad death from a sad disease because he stopped seeking God. Now, that's it with that. But I could give you verse after verse after verse after verse that connects prosperity to seeking God. So this is what I want us to leave you with. We're going to release our faith. There's a lot that goes into you going from where you are to higher places financially and material. A lot to it. But you'll never get there if you miss this one. Sunday, I told you, go ye. Wednesday, I'm telling you, seek ye. It begins by searching for God. Pursuing God. Leave here tonight committed to talking to God. I'm specifically talking about people who are under financial pressure. Talk to God about your life. Seek answers through His Word. Spend extra time praying and getting quiet and waiting on the Lord. I know I told you to go to Psalm 145 and then I turned you away from it, but if you were to go back there at some point, it says if those that wait on God, He opens His hand. He opens His hand and satisfies them with bread. He provides for them. But who's it doing? People that come and wait on Him. The people that want to hang out with Him. Amen. See, if you're seeking what's in God's hand more than what you're seeking God's heart, what's in His heart, you're in trouble. If you want what God has in His hand, what He could give you, more than seeking what's in His heart, you're wrong. You're in trouble. I'm not saying you're bad, but you're missing it. What's in God's heart for your life? What's in God's heart for His kingdom? What is in God's heart? Seek that more than what you... When I begin to figure out, thank God I don't think it happens to me very much, but when I begin to figure out someone just wants what I could give them out of my hand, they don't care anything about me. They don't love me. They're not interested in me. They just want what I can do for them. And that's a... I tend to, what do you want to do to people like that? And you certainly don't want to have intimate time with them and bury your soul. And Psalm 25 says that the one who seeks after God and talks to God about His covenant, that in that secret place, God reveals to that person the secrets of His covenant and its deep inner meaning. But He doesn't do that with everybody. It's those that love Him and want Him and are pursuing Him and willing to be corrected by Him. And the fastest way, honey, could you come to the keyboard real quick? The fastest way for you to get out of your mess financially is to hear from Him. Not me, hear from Him. He knows everything there is to know about you, where He wants, what job He would have you apply for, what path He would, what He wants you to change. And it might not have anything to do with your career. It might have everything to do with an attitude or a, you know, but He knows and He loves you. Amen. I said He loves you. Yes. He loves me. You know, years and years ago, we had church financial problems. We were doing okay. God, I set extra time aside to God to talk to me about my church's finances. Do you know He talked to me the very first day? The very first I brought it up, He talked to me. Now, I shut Him down because He said, I'd like to talk to you about your marriage. You remember that story?
Yes.
I don't have to take 10 minutes telling you all that. Remember I said, God, that's not why I called this meeting. Yes, sir. This meeting, the agenda sheet on this meeting is to talk about church's finances. He said, I'd like to talk to you about your marriage. So I said, maybe tomorrow. You'll hear me tomorrow. 3 days. Finally, I just acquiesced. He was talking to me about my church's finances the whole time. What I didn't know is it was connected to how I was conducting myself in my marriage. Amen. And see, what you don't see about what the key is to bring you up to a higher place in every realm, He knows it. Amen. But you got to want to know it enough to really seek Him. That means giving Him an evening, you give Him an evening. That means taking a sick day to come up to the church and lock yourself in a room and pray all day. Yeah. Then you do that because you got to hear. Right. Amen. So I'd like everybody to stand up on your feet. You have your offering. Thank you, hon. We got our offering.